Hello and welcome to the seventh round here at Mirage Profiles. And my name is Tim and I'm talking to Joe. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Joe, you also have been one of those guests this time here in Marrakesh last day. How was your experience so far?
It's been very good. People are super nice. Everything is nice there. I think the food, the weather has been a little bit worse than last time, but it's a lot better than where I come from. So I'm very happy with that.
Tell me something about how you started programming.
I started programming when I was very little. So I've been through a lot of different languages. And now I've sort of come to OCaml after some, 12, 13 years of trying out different things. And
what did you try out first?
My first one was JavaScript, and then I wanted to make real applications that could be compiled, so I switched to GB Basic, which was sort of a step back in many respects, but I could make executables, and I thought that was amazing. Mm-hmm. I then learned about Pascal, and I got a Pascal book in my native language. So I started writing Pascal, and I moved on to Delphi, so I could make graphical applications when I was, 10, then that's very cool. And then I moved on to Python. I've been through a Pyke phase, which is a Swedish scripting language. Mm-hmm. I've then moved to Python, and I've done a lot of PHP also previously. Also because I did a lot of security research, and PHP is a very interesting language for that kind of research, since there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, or was anyway.
Yeah, still is.
Yes, so the last 3 years I've been programming OCaml, and I really like it. It's my first functional programming language, so it's been a bit of a transition. You have to learn a lot of new concepts and so on, and I'm still learning, and I think if I go back and look at my code from a year ago, it's much different to how I would have done it now, so that's...
How did you run into OCaml? I mean, it's not one of the most popular languages on this planet.
I set out to find a new programming language because I decided that I didn't like Python because I had too many runtime errors where I would forget that something was a string and then use it as an integer, and I would get a runtime error after my program had been running for a long time. I think the worst examples of that is making a script that has to do some kind of computation, and at the very end when it has found a solution, you fuck up the print statement at the bottom, and then it crashes and doesn't give you the result, and you have to run the whole thing again. And this feels like a situation that could be improved on by having a static type system. So I set out to survey all languages that I could find. I started on Wikipedia and found a list of programming languages that's very, very long. And I opened a whole bunch of tabs in Firefox and just started clicking through and getting rid of the ones I didn't like, the syntax or... where there was not enough libraries to do something productive with it. And I ended up with a bunch of candidates. So I had Haskell in there, I had Scala, I had OCaml, a bunch of small niche programming languages also. I looked a bit at Ada also, and I decided that OCaml seemed like the best trade-off between being able to do the kind of applications that I would like to do and having a nice type system and ecosystem that was alive and still being developed on.
Let me guess, you kicked off Erlang from the list because of the syntax?
I kicked off Erlang from the list because of the dynamic typing, to be honest, but also because it seemed very geared towards writing server-side software, and I wanted to write client-side software that I could run myself. I don't have too many servers, and I would like to make applications and replace the existing applications I have that I do not trust alike from a security perspective, mm-hmm. with my own implementations or with things built from nicer implementations. That's sort of my main interest. I think that is securing the client side, the desktop of people, and replacing old applications and insecure applications with nicer implementations that are easier to reason about.
All right. So... by using OCaml, you more or less bumped into Mirage OS at one point.
Yes, actually, Mirage OS was the one I found first, and I saw that it was made in OCaml. Previously, I had discarded OCaml because it looked like a very old project. the website looked very old. The documentation looked like something that hadn't been updated from the 90s. And I thought, this one is probably not very alive and not really used for anything. I'm just going to discard this stuff. I can't find anything that uses this, and I've never heard about OCaml before, never bumped into it, so it's probably a dead research project. And then I found Mirage OS, and I thought, oh, actually, maybe someone is doing something with this. I've been friends with Hannes for a long time, and he got involved in the Mirage OS project, and when I talked to him about that, I also decided to become involved. And then I had to learn OCaml first, so there was a learning curve of maybe half year or year where I didn't really produce anything productive at all, and had to learn how to build software in OCaml. There's a lot of conventions you have to learn because the standard library is so limited, and the build system ecosystem is so fragmented, so you kind of have to learn a lot of best practices to be able to produce things that work. And this takes a lot of learning. And then I also had to learn about monads and all of this type system stuff that I had never previously really encountered in Python, where there isn't really any, and in Pascal, where it's very simple and easy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So that's sort of how I got started. And now I'm still learning, and I'm actually starting to produce software that I think it can be used. So I've worked a bit on a PGP implementation this year, where I implemented the signing parts of PGP, so I can do signing and verifying.
So you actually did the crypto code?
I used New Crypto by David Kelleher
mm-hmm.
to do the low-level stuff, and then I just implemented the more abstract types and the protocol and the formats that are used in different things, and I had to patch a lot of different things to get these things working. I think often when you're working on Mirage projects, you bump into one or two issues in the build system that you also have to go fix. So there's a lot of learning there. And this will, of course, improve gradually over time, but people have to do that. So you, by using Mirage, you kind of subscribe to the idea that you have to go and merge some stuff upstream every now and then. And I think that's nice. It's not so nice running into bugs, of course, but it's nice that you have such a direct contact with the people who are publishing everything and maintaining the projects, because you can learn from them and they're super nice and you can meet them like we do now.
Mm-hmm.
And if I was using Python, I would never be in contact with the person maintaining the PGP library, or, you know, I mean, it's just, it's a much bigger community, so you have much less access to the main people. And you can't really talk to the interpreter people or the compiler people or whatever.
Have you also experienced that there is a different style of programmers who are gathering around this project and this programming language?
I think yes. And I think there's different categories also, because people want to do different things, of course, and people work with it professionally or they do it for fun. And if you had a more mainstream, programming language, you would have much more variety, of course. But I think that since everybody is in contact with each other in this very small community, you can learn from each other from those different categories and have some integration. I think that's good.
Do you think it's just a matter of the size of the community, or is it also a different mindset that somehow relates to the way programming is done? I mean, you told me that you were actively looking for a language that does things better for you. You know, might be that others are in the same ballpark.
Yes, and I don't know exactly what makes it so, but I have found the OCaml community to be surprisingly helpful and friendly, and for me that matters a lot. If you look at similar sort of niche programming languages, which I think sadly we must admit that we kind of are in the OCaml community, they're not very nice and they're very elitist. And I think in the OCaml community, it's more like people are happy that someone's finally using the language. so they're very helpful. And I think that's a very good mentality. And it makes it much easier to learn OCaml and to join the community. I hope we can keep that as the language will inevitably grow. But I think it's more a matter of culture than it is of the actual language. And I hope we can preserve that culture, because I think it's... it's a very good thing to have for an open source project.
Mirage OS is made out of lots of libraries, and I've seen some presentations here, lots of talking about what is needed, what is sort of the next blank to be filled, and there are quite a few blanks left. what have you been focusing on?
The past few months, I've been working on a graphics library to do portable graphics with Mirage. When you work on Mirage libraries, they're not really tied to Mirage in that sense, because the library operating system just pulls in libraries and then you can use them in your Mirage OS application. So it's mostly the application that's Mirage OS specific, and the libraries are, they have to be written in a certain style, but you can mostly use existing libraries that are just OCaml libraries in your applications. But for this thing, I want it to be portable, so I have to implement different backends, so it will run on Syn and run on Linux and so on.
But by graphics, we talk about like the basis for a real graphical user interface.
Yes, it's a frame buffer interface. Mm-hmm. So I do pixel by pixel blitting, which some people say is slow, and sometimes they're right. I'm working on making them less right, but it's a work in progress. And this was possible 20 years ago, so I'm assuming it'll also be possible now. And I think we can even reach acceptable speeds without hardware acceleration now, because I don't deal with 3D, for example. So it is kind of simple operations, and we have much better CPUs now. So there will be some overhead, but I think that the value that you gain from the high-level interface makes it worth it. I don't care too much about speed. I mean, if my graphical interface can update faster than I can notice, then I'm happy. I don't care about nanosecond optimizations.
Yeah, and you're not looking for 3D games to be played in a unikernel, but more having a basis for a decent UI.
Yes. And to get rid of the dependencies on other people's C code that you don't really know what to do, because I don't want to have people experience crashes because of my library code in their applications. I think that's really bad, and that's something that is sort of just how life is if you're using GTK or Qt or whatever. Sometimes it will crash and it will not be your fault. And I think that when an application crashes, it should always be the programmer's fault for the front-end application and not the libraries.
A chance would be to sort of copy the most modern concepts in how programs are actually communicating what they want to be displayed through the API. Have you looked at other GUIs? Which one you'd like to sort of copy or at least take as a...
I have looked a little bit at that, but it has also been very much in a testing phase where I kind of just wanted to get something on the screen to see that it was working. That's very satisfying when you've been hacking away at something that doesn't compile or doesn't work or crashes for 2 weeks, and then when it finally shows something on the screen, you're very happy. So it has more been about getting the different backends in a stable stable situation, and also to learn the different protocols that they speak and so on. And I think a more sort of high level and a nice application can be built on top of that. And I think there's value in having a very low-level interface also, because that makes it very versatile. You can use it for different applications. You could use it for showing video, for example, where you do not care about the graphical widgets. So I want to have the sort of the high-level put a button on the screen thing be a library that uses the frame buffer library, but it shouldn't be built in, because maybe you don't want buttons, and then there's no reason for that to be included in the library.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, one promise of the Mirage OS is sort of building a more or less complete system for a very dedicated, small, actionable device. So delivering something that just gives like the basics in user interface, because usually most of the stuff is sort of expected to run in the background, or you, at least you're configuring it once. You're not constantly looking at it.
Yes, that's true for some applications, but I mean, personally, I would like to replace my desktop and my main interface with my computer with Mirage. I think there will be some time before I can do that, sadly. So what I'm doing now is I'm using Cubes, which is a Linux operating system that is based on Xen and then runs Linux and Windows in different virtual machines. And using this, you can sort of replace the existing applications you use in Linux with Mirage OS unikernels. So I would like to gradually transition to having a fully Mirage OS computing experience, but I'm doing that step by step, where I'm replacing existing applications instead of rewriting a whole operating system from scratch, because I think it's a more viable approach and it makes my day-to-day use of my computer easier. So now I have made a very small image viewer, which is, I mean, it's working. So I have replaced my C-based image viewers with my own application for viewing images. And I have made a small command line application for using the PGP library, so I can verify GPG signatures and make GPG or PGP signatures on files. And that means I can get rid of my usage of GPG, because I don't really use the GPG encryption. I didn't use that previously either. So now I have sort of replaced my use case for the C-based GNU PG with my own utility. And I think this is the approach that is the easiest to do, because I can still use my computer the same way I did before. I'm just step by step replacing it with stuff written in Mirage, and eventually we'll have a full operating system.
Looking at the security part, I mean, opening graphic files, PNGs, JPEGs, on many systems have always been the source of weird bugs and security problems. Lots of small overflow problems or big overflow problems in that code. So that's part of the game, right?
Yes, and that's one of the primary reasons why. I mean, it's fun to paint PNGs in your frame buffer, because then it feels like you're achieving something when you're programming a graphics library. But it's also to replace libpng and libjpeg and all these very big C libraries that have a lot of very optimized C code that often results in security issues, because they want to be very fast. And I have the approach that I'd rather be resilient than fast, and it just has to be usable in terms of speed. It doesn't have to be super optimized. And also from OCaml and from the type system and from the runtime, I get the property that when something goes wrong in my parsing, it crashes with an exception rather than it lets other people run commands on my computer. And I think that's a very nice failure mode, and it's definitely one of the reasons I am attracted to the OCaml programming language, because it means I can change the failure mode to being the application crashed instead of being the application screwed you over and sold you out to the Russians and you know.
Yeah, and I think there's also, I mean, going for this kind of file format support after others have started this 10, 20 years ago also means you can take into account all the newest developments, metadata layers that are usually ignored by other libraries, or at least not honored as they should be. And that's something what a redesign can also bring.
Yes, and I mean, for the PNG, for example, I didn't write my own library of PNGs. I found someone else's and adapted that so it could be used in Mirage. I mean, that one has worked very well for me. I haven't found a PNG file that failed to pass so far. So there are a lot of libraries out there that are sort of not really getting used. And I think making applications that use those libraries are good, because it means the effort to write the initial library was not wasted. And it also means that if there's something that is not working out in the library, someone else who's using the application would be provoked and rewrite it.
Could also be a privacy feature, by like automatically stripping our geolocation and other data that might point to the originator.
Yes, I mean that's the secret of the people writing libraries, is that you're in control of what you're emitting and passing, and it's a very convenient place to be for a tinfoil hat like me, because I get to control what my application handles or doesn't handle, or my library handles or doesn't handle. Whereas if I'm using an upstream library from some other operating system or from other programming language, I will usually not check the details of how that works because it's very complicated to do that often. And sometimes it's even across programming languages. They have some part written in C or PHP, and then they have another part written in C, and then maybe yet another part written in, who knows, assembly or something.
That, yeah, and the APIs are usually not honoring that flexibility that you might, you know, if you come up with something like a general way of approaching metadata that gives you always full control, or, you know, that you can sort of push on filters or only emit what I actually want to be emitted and everything else, even if I don't know it, is just left out, things like this.
Definitely, yes. And also, I think another selling point for OCaml is that it's very easy to modify existing stuff because the code is very compact usually. So instead of having to touch on 2,000 lines of C code to change an API, I can usually just modify 5 or 10 lines in 2 or 3 files, and then I have my different functionality. If I want to expose some extra information, like the metadata or something like that, I can make that change myself because the way people usually write libraries makes it easy to figure out what's going on, and it makes it easy to modify them also to return different data and to have different APIs.
Mm-hmm. And you could share code across different image libraries. Like, you know, metadata is one thing, but it might apply to both PNG and JPEG and TIFF and so on. And
yes, exactly. And could the, be the one composability handler. Is very nice, I think.
So you have another project started, I guess, with Hannes called Robo. What's that about?
It's about making our hobby viable also as a lifestyle, kind of, and trying to fund ourselves rather than to have to work a day job and then do our OCaml projects in our spare time. The idea is to have a charity or a non-profit that operates a little bit like a business in the sense that you would be open to having commercial customers, but you would be strict on open sourcing as much of the code as possible, working in the Mirage or at least the OCaml ecosystem and upstreaming patches and so on, and then getting funding from grants, from donations, and from commercial customers, and pooling the profits that we don't need to pay our sort of core developers into the community, and being able to pay people to work on libraries that we think is are beneficial, and to give them a way to work on Mirage where they would normally, on OCaml, where they normally have gotten a job at a cafe, or, you know, would have to go get some job to get funding because they had off time from something, or, you know, whatever. So it's basically about making it so that people can work on their OCaml and Mirage projects and not have to also have a day job where they program Java and hate it or something, to make it viable to...
Yeah, enabling the community to actually contribute something without being distorted by real world.
Yes, yes. And we can then also bribe people to do the boring work, is the hope. that sometimes, you know, maintenance tasks and so on that get a bit neglected, we can what's it called? Compensate them for their time.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a nice idea and a nice...
So what's your overall experience here? Is this the first time you're here?
This is my third time I'm here.
Okay, so have you seen them all?
Yes.
So if you compare all those three events, have they differed?
I think that's very hard. I think it's hard to compare them. I see it more as a continuation, and I have liked every one of them. I mean, it works out a little bit differently each time because it's a different composure of people and attending. But usually, a lot of code gets done, and even more importantly, a lot of social contacts are made, and you get to put a face on this and this name from GitHub and so on, and that results in a lot of collaboration later on, and you meet people that know about this specific thing that you have trouble with, and. Mm-hmm. After you have talked to them and you know, shared a beer or a meal, you you feel more comfortable writing them and ask them for your help, or the other way around. And I think it's good to let people in the community know that there are other people out there who also do these things, because otherwise in a small programming language community you end up being very isolated with your projects and your problems. And it's nice to give people a space to discuss their ideas, to get recognition for their good work, and to feel comfortable collaborating on things.
Yeah, and I think the good thing about Mirage basically being an operating system means that almost anything can fit in. I mean, we already talked about the blanks that need to be filled, and there are still a lot of missing pieces and new ideas. What would you expect where Mirage is heading? What the next real world use might be, apart from just being a nice playground for programmers?
I think one of the things that would enable a lot of more applications is getting a stable story for storing persistent data from within the unikernels. A lot of people have touted the idea of non-persistence as a glorious design principle, but I think it's also very limiting in terms of real-world application. And having a persistent file storage or data storage that enables the unikernels to keep state across reboots would make us able to write stuff like a forum, a web forum, or an email server. Or I mean, there are just applications where it's not very good if it loses all of its state.
When I mean, there's Ermin.
Yes, and I have not used Ermin, I must confess. So I don't know how easy that is to use, but there is that, and I think it would still be good to have some more code using these things, sort of making it easier for people to write applications with persistent storage, and maybe also passing existing formats. I mean, that's always good when we get contributions of new libraries that deal with that, so we can migrate people away from whatever other software they're using and you know, read their USB keys, or that would be good, I think.
JSON, XML, all those standard files that you just come across, you know, you have no option of ignoring.
Something I would also really like to see, of course, is more the cryptographic protocols. VPA2, for example, would be very nice. So you would have a memory-safe implementation of the encryption layer for Wi-Fi, because pretty much everyone uses Wi-Fi at some point in their life, and the implementations of that are very hidden away, and nobody really looks at it except for the few security researchers. I think having a modern implementation of that from scratch that can be tested and reasoned about would
so
be very good.
You're touting Mirage as a platform for modem firmwares or wireless router firmwares. I mean, there's already work being done on routing. What's the project called that does the routing stuff?
I mean, there's the Cubes Mirage Firewall by Thomas.
Oh, that's the firewall. All right.
Mm-hmm. That I've been at this hack retreat here. I've been working on making it read user files instead of having hard coded files, mm-hmm. which makes it easier to distribute to other people, so we can start using it in Debian and Tails and all sort of these distributions of software without requiring a whole OCaml installation to be able to compile the software every time you want to modify your firewall rules, and also to make people able to do their own firewall configurations without learning OCaml. I'm always open to more people learning OCaml, but I think it's a non-ideal place to start in the middle of a stateful firewall. But I think that would also make it more interesting to other people outside the operating system. And I think we have a very good selling point for all of these applications, in that we use much less memory than you would use on spinning up a new Linux VM and then running some application there. So at this hack retreat, I've also worked on a small password manager library and a command line application using that. And my plan is to have a graphical password manager written using my graphical library. And that way I would have a memory overhead of, say, 20 megabytes compared to Cube's Linux VM running KeePass X, which would take up 250 megabytes or something. So if you're in, if you've subscribed to this idea of compartmentalizing your different security contexts in your daily computing with virtual machines, then I think it definitely makes sense to consider Mirage, because you will just be able to run more stuff with your existing memory. On servers, this is less of a problem because you usually have endless amounts of RAM.
Yeah, but small devices, I mean, are commonplace now as well. And if you look at the reality of microcontrollers and so on, they will still need some time to grow into the areas we have for other systems too. So presentation has started. I think we are done. Thanks, Joe.
Goodbye.
And goodbye.